give you a warm word of welcome today to the house of the Lord. If you are joining us online in Toronto, Canada, well, the snow is falling down very gently and nicely today, and so we are welcomed to a beautiful winter morning. Although some people may not think it is so beautiful as the snow is finally on its way. Well, we thank the Lord for the warmth that we have in our hearts because we know the person whom we have believed in. And we know today that we are on the side of victory. We are on the Lord's side. And we want to sing that today in our opening hymn, Who is on the Lord's side? Let's stand, please, as we worship. And that was good worship today as we start our service. The opening line of the fourth verse says, Fierce may be the conflict, and strong may be the foe. Well, we know that is true. Not only does the Word of God attest to that, but we have also borne witness in our own experience. Now, we may not have gone through the type of physical persecution that has been on the saints in history. We may not have been staring down the barrel of a gun. or looking at the fires of martyrdom. But you know, in every generation, God brings his church through times of difficulty. And all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the promise that God has given to us. And therefore, he tells us to cast our burdens upon him. And the burden is the gift from the Lord. And the gift of God is always attended when it's in the form of a burden or a trial. It always is attended by his grace to be able to enable and strengthen and carry us through. So, believer, whatever you are facing today, well, be confident in this, that we are on the Lord's side, and we're on the side of the King. We're not on the side fighting for the victory, but we want to be on the side of living in the victory that Christ has already obtained for us. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our eternal God and our loving Father, we humbly bow thy holy presence this morning in our Savior's precious and holy name. And Lord, we know that we have been given grace again to be here in the house of prayer, in the place of worship, with others of like precious faith. And Lord, we don't want to take these opportunities for granted, for we do not know exactly when and how they will be removed from us. But Lord, today we acknowledge and give thanks for every good and perfect gift that has come down from the Father of lights and glory. And Lord, today help us all to reflect on these things, to be thankful for the daily provisions, to be thankful, Lord, for the abundance that is poured out upon us so many, many ways. And yes, Lord, help us to be thankful for that gift, that burden that may come from a providential and loving hand, Lord, to direct our lives, to steer us in the right direction, to keep us from depending on ourselves. Lord, I pray that we will be conscious every moment of the day that we are walking in the center of the will of God. Lord, we praise and give thanks for your kindness to us in saving us from our sin and giving us a hope that will never diminish and cannot be taken away from us. For we are already seated in heavenly places. We are already glorified in the eternal purpose of our great God. Lord, help us to be thinking of these things. Help us to rejoice in these things. Let the blessing of these mercies always be filtering through our mind, purging away doubtful thoughts, and reinforcing the strong and solid ground of the Word of God. Thankful, Lord, for the promises that we have, so many, and all in Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray that we will take these promises to our own heart, not leave them on the page of Scripture or on a notepad or a calendar somewhere. Lord, may they be taken by faith into our own experience. And Father, teach us to depend upon the holy Word of God. Father, hear our prayers today. We know that there are many in our fellowship who need your encouragement and help, a touch of healing, direction in life, maybe some particular prayer that has been much upon their hearts and a burden of heart and life. We know that there are some, Father, who are set aside with sickness, and we pray for mercy and healing upon them. We ask, dear Father, for blessing upon those who need employment, who have other needs within the household, unsaved loved ones, Father, spiritual problems, financial, practical issues, all these things. How thankful we are, Lord, that we can cast all our care upon the Savior, for we know He cares for us. Lord, hear our prayer today. We know that as we face some uncertainty in the days ahead, we pray that each one of us will be strengthened with might in the inner man, and each one of us will grow closer and closer with our Lord. And Father, we pray that You would ever watch over our ministry here and help us to be an encouragement to each other and to hold up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, to be an encourager to our brethren, sisters in the faith. Help us to be a living witness to the unsaved. And Lord, as our prayer has been recently, and we redouble that today, we want to be soul winners. We are praying, Lord, that our testimonies will be powerful in Your hand and anointed with the Spirit of God, enabling us to share our faith and to speak of the wondrous love of God. And Lord, help us. Let us be equipped to know how to lead a soul to Christ. Let us be studying and be diligent in this matter. And Lord, I pray that we'll be useful in the great kingdom and scheme of our Father. And Lord, we ask today for our land, for our city, our province, our nation. We pray that You would have mercy upon those that are sick and specifically overcome with this virus. We ask, Lord, for Your continual watch care over our fellowship here, from the youngest one to the oldest senior. Lord, those who are the most vulnerable, put Your protecting arms round them, we pray, and bless them. We hold up again those who are in harm's way, who are more susceptible working in the nursing, the medical fields. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Keep very close to each one of them. Lord, we pray for our leaders, for they need much help. Lord, grant wisdom and understanding. We pray that You would take away the bad and evil agendas of so many, and take away that which is evil and bless that which is good. Overturn the forces of evil in our time. Lord, we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're asking today that You would give us victory in defeating the attempt of the devil to overturn Your work. Help us, Lord, we pray, in our day, in our time, to be a light, to be salt, for we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Bless us now in our worship, and as we continue in our praise, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're singing, please, Psalm 90, the first selection, Psalm 90a. Let's stand again as we worship. God bless his word as we have sung, and now as we will read. Please turn with me in the book of Romans, chapter 3. Book of Romans, chapter 3, and I want the boys and girls to really pay attention here to this Bible reading today, of course, because there's a verse of Scripture here that, well, we're going to be thinking about just in a few moments as well for our Behind the Wall children's story. Romans chapter 3, reading from verse 19 to 28. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. It's gone. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. May God bless his word and to our hearts as we have read today. A word of welcome to you again to our service, not only if you're here in person, but also viewing our service online today. You're very, very welcome. And as you have well heard on the news that we are now under another COVID lockdown, which means that starting next Lord's Day, well, our services will be online only. Apart from the skeleton crew, and I don't know if that's really a good name to use, but nonetheless, it's a small crew going back to the time of March and April and May and so on, that we will continue to have our services. And we're so thankful that God has given to us the opportunity through Sermon Audio and the online networking to be able to broadcast his own precious word. And so we will keep you posted as far as our services are concerned. But that means we're open today and we're open tonight in person meetings. And of course, our prayer meetings will continue via Zoom as well. You know, when I was thinking about coming to the service today, I couldn't help but that verse of Scripture coming to my mind that David said, I was thankful or joyful when they said unto me, let us go up or into the house of the Lord. And when we miss coming to the house of God, well, then we perhaps appreciate just a little bit more the mercies and the blessings that we have. I greatly appreciate your ongoing prayer and for the elders and the deacons as we continue to have to make decisions that are based upon the right way of the word of the Lord. Can I ask you to remember, please, Reverend Phil Owen in your prayer from Boston, New York. mentioned last week that our brother was overcome along with his wife with COVID, and they were able to tune into the service last Lord's Day morning, and I was happy to hear about that. And perhaps Brother Owen, you're with us this morning again. I want you to know you're very welcome and that we're praying for you and for your congregation. They decided that it was good to close their church another Lord's Day, so they're also shut down today. Remember our brother, please, very much in your prayers. We have others who are shut in and needing prayer. Do remember Brother Sam McAnally, still in hospital, that the Lord would touch and help him. Please pray for our sister Ruth Slade. Keep her before the Lord, as she is in need of your prayers as well. I had a nice conversation with our sister this past week, and just encourage you to remember her in prayer. And then our sister Karen Chandler, I did not realize that she was in the service last Lord's Day. Karen, are you here this morning? No hands up, okay. Well, you're probably at home watching, hope you are. Anyways, I felt bad because I didn't see her in the service last Sunday night, and we've been praying for Karen, but she is making good recovery from the problem she had with fractures in her shoulders, and she's making good recovery, so I know she appreciates the prayers of everyone. Remember, please, the prayer meeting this afternoon at 5:50, and that will be downstairs for those who will be in attendance, and you've already received the Zoom details for those who will be at their home. And our service tonight at 6:30, please continue to hold us up before the Lord in prayer. Now, next Lord's Day, as I said, will be online, and we will also be having our session and board monthly prayer time, and that will be at 4:50 for the men who are involved in that, and that will be on Zoom. But we want to continue on laying hold upon the Lord and not slacking off at all, but redoubling our efforts in every way that is possible. You notice perhaps as you came in, or please look on your way out, we put some magazines on the table virtually on this side of the church, actually. And these are some magazines that have been around, and they've been around for several weeks. But now, because you will not be able to be here for several weeks, we thought, well, please take that literature and make use of the time, some good reading, and we don't want to have it hanging around because it is dated, and so please take that for your own edification and the encouragement of others. You may want to read it and then pass it on to someone else. We hope that you will be able to do that. This Wednesday night, our prayer meeting is going to have a missionary flavor to it. We're looking forward to the Briggs family, Paul and Marina, from the Ivory Coast in Africa, although they are in Northern Ireland, and so they will be coming to give us a report on just how things have been going with their translation work of the Bible and other study materials. And it was two prayer meetings back to back, for we had Reverend Paul Backhurst last Wednesday night sharing his testimony, and it was a tremendous encouragement, and are people able to pray more effectively now for the church in Calgary? And then, so remember the Briggs family this coming Wednesday night before the Lord. There are other announcements, and if you are online connected with our bulletin, well, that's where you're getting a good amount of information, and I encourage you to keep abreast on all of those things at this time. Now, boys and girls, we have a message that we want to bring for you today, and I hope that everyone will be able to listen carefully. And I've got something behind the wall here that I want to show you today. I think boys and girls might be interested in something like this. Has anybody ever seen these before? I think so. I see a few hands up there. I know. Well, you listen very carefully. And just take a moment here and get ourselves in position. Boys and girls, we today, all of us, and that of course includes all the adults, we all have a very big problem. And the big problem that we have is by the words you could see on the screen. And I wonder, Mr. McAnally, if you would just cut the overhead lights there so they can see the slides a little bit better. We have a very big problem because we have all broken the law of God. And boys and girls, maybe you have, or you would admit that you have told a lie. Or maybe you have taken something that did not belong to you. And of course, that would be stealing. I think that perhaps someone would have to admit that they have disobeyed mom or dad, and they have not kept that which is right. Sometimes I think you would find this to be a problem, especially if you have little brothers or little sisters together, and maybe you could have seen a time where you've had a toy and they had a toy. You were arguing over who was going to get that toy. Oh, that wasn't a good thing. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's lying or stealing or disobeying or fighting and arguing, we all have a very big problem. And it really means this, that we have broken the law of God. And in a real sense, we have stamped on the Word of God and the law of God, and it's been broken in many, many pieces. We have disobeyed the Lord. I wonder if you would be able to repeat with me, want everyone to say it out, Romans 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Let's say that again with the chapter and the verse first of all. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that means that we have all broken. So it doesn't matter whether it's lying or disobeying or stealing or many other things. Now, it's possible that there are some boys and girls, and it might be that you're watching online today. You're not in our church in person, but you're at home with mom or dad, you're at your computer, and there might be some that would say, "Well, I've never sinned. I don't do anything wrong. I'm a very good person." Well, maybe that's the case, but I'm not so sure. I want you to think for a moment with me about some Smarties. Now, we've already talked about how delicious they are, and I have before me four different Smarties. I've got a yellow one, and we're going to call her Wendy. And then I've got a blue one. We're going to call him Brian. And then we have an orange one, and we're going to call her Olive. And the last one we have is red. Well, that's Randy. Randy is red. Well, they were starting to have a little bit of a discussion between them, and Wendy said, "Well, I'm the color of yellow, which is the color of the sun." And she said, "I am so bright, and I bring everyone heat and joy." And so, well, Wendy, she was a bit boastful. And then Brian said, "Well, I'm blue, and blue is the color of water, and everyone needs water to survive and live in their life. People like to swim, they have to bathe, and of course they have to drink in order to live." And so Brian said, "Well, you can't live without me." And he became a bit boastful in what he was thinking. And then we turned to orange, which is Olive. And Olive said, "Well, I'm just beautiful." She said, "Well, look at all the orange trees that people love, the sweet oranges." And she said, "I'm just beautiful." And so Well, she was very, very self-righteous, kind of thought she was better than everybody else. Well, the last one was the red, and that's Randy. Well, we know Randy is so important because that's even the whole jingle. Do you eat the red ones last? Is that not what he was so important in all of the Smarties together? And so he was filled with, he was very conceited, Randy. And so they all began to argue together, these four Smarties. And they were arguing, who's the greatest? And I thought, well, I'm the greatest. No, no, I'm the greatest. No, I have more important. And along came a man, and he said, hey, what's all the fighting going on here? What's all the arguing for? And so they began to tell him all their dispute. And he said, well, I see. Well, I have an experiment for you. And so he looked at Wendy, and he took a bite. And he looked on the inside. Oh, Wendy. And then he looked at Brian, took a bite, and he looked on the inside. It's an olive. He looked on the inside. And I took Randy and looked on the inside. And you know what he found? He found that all of them, though they were very different on the outside, they were all exactly the same on the inside. And boys and girls, do you know something? You might have a color of skin that's different from somebody else. You might come from another place around the world. Maybe you weren't even born in Canada. You might have all different things on the outside, and you might look shiny and bright and nice, and you think you're better than other people. But you know something? The Lord says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And inside us, we are all sinners before the Lord. And there are none that are righteous. None of us are good. And we all have broken the law of the Lord. Boys and girls, that means that we have a huge problem. Because it means that before the Lord, we are all guilty. Before the great judge of all the earth, we have sinned, we have broken his law, and now we stand guilty. What can we do? What is the remedy of this? Because on the outside, though everything looked great, it was not good on the inside. Everyone was all the same. Oh, my young friends, this is where God stepped in. And this is where the Lord brought some good news for us. Because the good news of the gospel is the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he took our sin upon himself. And where Jesus never sinned and he did not break the law, God was able to take his righteous living, his purity, and apply it and give it to us. And he took our sin upon him when he died on the cross and shed his own precious blood. And boys and girls, today I want to tell you that if you invite the Lord Jesus into your life and you repent of your sin and you say to him, Lord, please save me, then you will have joy in your heart, you'll be forgiven of your sin, and then you will know peace and you'll be happy. Because you will be then on the road to heaven. And this is the hope of the gospel. This is the great news. Have you trusted in him today? Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that the word of the Lord would be written on every heart, young and old, and that the simple truth of the gospel would come with power to every heart. Lord, hear our prayer today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn to the Lord's praise. And if you're watching at home and using our book, it's number 595, My Soul Be on Thy Guard. And my, how that's appropriate to be on our guard for the enemies that come against us, but be on our guard for the greatest enemy that's on the inside here, our own hearts. So, let's stand as we worship the Lord with this psalm, hymn. Will you turn, please, now in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. And if there are any boys and girls and you have a question about your soul, about what we were speaking on today, then you be sure to ask Mom or Dad. You be sure to seek the Lord. And that goes for everyone. If I can be of any help to you in the gospel, then please be sure to speak to me. We can show you and open God's Word. At the end of the services, I have not been immediately going to the door, and I have been going into my study after the message and getting sanitized and cleaned up a little bit before I come out to see the folks. But if you would like to have a word, please just wait around, and I will be out before too long, and then we can chat or say hello. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read the first five verses. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray now that the Word would be open to all our hearts, and that we would be directed by the Spirit. How much I need that, Lord, the fresh oil, the unction from heaven, clarity of thinking, and the power to deliver the Word of the Lord faithfully. Speak to every heart, I pray, and draw near to us now, for we ask all these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Verse 4, please, is the verse I want to draw your attention to today. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." As you know, we have been going through a study in the Lord's life, and we're coming up to some of the most important parts in the final teaching of the Lord to His disciples called the Olivet Discourse. It involves Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. And I want to take some time and preparation for that study because it is very involved. It's dealing with much to do with the end times, and there are differing views on how all that will work out. So I do appreciate very much your prayers as I take time to study and to ask the Lord for His direction as we try to unfold and rightly divide the Word of truth. So, for a few Lord's days, we're going to be looking at some other scriptures, and I felt today the Lord led us to this particular one because of the need for us never to forget our constant spiritual conflict. Our constant spiritual conflict. Our Lord said to us that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said the trial of your faith works patience. And He also tells us that we are to war a good warfare. And all of these verses, they serve to reinforce the truth that the Christian life, well, it's not equal to an easy chair or a soft recliner that sometimes we enjoy lying back on. We're in a conflict. And once we are enlisted in the service of Christ, if we are saved by His grace, born again by His Spirit, once we are in that service of Christ, we can expect no less than a life of conflict. Believer, don't forget that. We must understand all the implications of this. And yet to realize that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That we, being filled with the Spirit of God, we know the indwelling of Christ in our life. That, as I said before, we are not fighting for the victory, but we are to walk and live in the victory of Christ. But that does not mean in any way that we'll avoid conflict, or it will not be part of our spiritual life. No, very much so, as verse 4 tells us in this chapter. So in the first place, please note this, that our conflict is ultimately a spiritual one. Do we need to be reminded of this? Well, I know that I do, and I think that likely every believer does as well. Now, we know we are facing today a COVID lockdown put in place by the government authorities in their attempt to stem the flow and the advance and the increase of the virus. But you know, in many ways, these things only add to the already high levels of mental and emotional strain that seems to be upon everyone, whether you're sick or not sick. It's really something that affects us. And it affects us mentally, it affects us physically, it affects us spiritually. Yes, believer, because there are so many unknowables that are connected with the virus and things of that nature that we cannot lose sight of the fact that we have a sovereign God that is overseeing all things and that is in control of all things. We emphasize that and have done more so recently because there's a tendency for you and I to become very distracted. We can become set aside in our thinking. We can become just overwhelmed by all that's going on around us. And I felt the weight of that, and I know you have as well. Even this thing has caused such upheaval in countries around the world. It has changed habits. And ultimately, it is connected for the Christian with another aspect of spiritual conflict that we must consider. See, everything in this world affects us as Christians in a spiritual way. It has that dimension to it. And so as we walk and we commune with people, as we are busy about our daily activities and other people are influencing us or we are coming across their pathways, we are open to listening to the radio, the television, the news, and all of these things can come upon us. And we must not ever forget that for the child of God, ultimately, we are in a spiritual warfare in this world and in our journey. Let us remember in this battle that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, the Holy Spirit says. And that word carnal, it means simply of the flesh or of the body, that which is temporal. So the things and the stuff of this world, those are the carnal things. Now I know that we sometimes refer to something as being carnal in the totally bad sense, but it really means that which is of the world or of the body. It only goes to emphasize that our Lord's kingdom, it cannot be advanced. The spiritual kingdom of Christ cannot be advanced by carnal things, by fleshly things, by things that are of this world. We must be reminded of that. It's not by our intellect, it's not by psychology, and it's certainly not by the sword or by the gun or by military work that Christianity will go forward. No, we are dealing with spiritual weaponry that the Holy Spirit has given to us. So when Paul records that our weapons are not carnal, he is most definitely saying they are the opposite of that, as far opposite as we could imagine. And let us, believer, come back again to consider, to think carefully about the spiritual nature of what we're all about. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would fight. They would take up arms. Christianity has never and will never be advanced by violence, unlike other religions in the world. We can't fight the Lord's battles with the arm of our own flesh, and it's not going to be by force or by worldly arguments of logic and political maneuverings or sometimes human thinking that, well, it just goes a bit too far beyond any spiritual things within the Christian I'm talking about. The arsenal that God has given to us, it is, my friend, provided by Him, and it's at our disposal, and it's enough to equip us. It is all that we need. We don't have to go beyond what the Lord has provided for us. So what is the spiritual weaponry He has given? It is, in the first place, prayer. This is the greatest of our spiritual weaponry. And that every single one of us, we have this at our disposal. The Lord has said to us, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." We have the precious promises of God's Word. And we are able to humbly and yet very aggressively bring those promises to the throne of grace. Christian, let me ask you, are you basing your prayers upon the promises of God's Word? Are you bringing back the Word of God to Him in prayer? As we plead with Him, and we plead based upon the Word that He has spoken, God must honor His own Word. And so as we pray the promises, we're doing in effect what we were reminded of last Wednesday night by Brother Backhurst. We are going to storm the gates of heaven by our prayer. We're going to lay hold upon God. And we're going to take Him at His Word. And in the most unusual illustration that He gave to us in that parable of the widow woman that came to the unjust judge and relentlessly said to him, "Give me what I need." And God uses that illustration that we as Christians are to storm the gates of heaven by our praying. This is the weaponry that God has given to us. And my dear friend, there's no limitation to your praying. God is not going to say to you, "All right, your time is up." Sometimes we have to say that in our Wednesday night prayer meeting, by the way, because we can't have prayers that go on long and long and long, because then no one else gets an opportunity to pray. So the public prayer meeting, yes, there are time limits within the reasonableness of the time that we have to pray. But when you're alone with God, there's no time limit, friend. That's why Jesus said men ought always to pray. And the idea of praying always is to pray constantly. And God invites us and welcomes us. And He does not want us to give up. So often we do. Do you feel weak in the area of prayer? I could just rephrase that and say, we all feel weak in the area of prayer. I know that I do, and you do as well. Because it comes to the point where in your private praying, maybe you're distracted in your mind. That's the place where the devil will come and attack you directly, in the solemn, holy place. That's where your thoughts will become diverted, sometimes the most wicked and evil things. But it's at that very place, friends, that we must persevere and press through to pray and seek the Lord with our hearts, because this is a mighty spiritual weapon. And the Holy Spirit, He empowers us, and God has told us to watch and pray, to pray always with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is hard. God has given to us a tremendous privilege and weapon to bring before Him. You know, the devil does not mind if we go about our work without praying about it. The devil really doesn't mind if you, in the service of the Lord, go about your busyness of your service if you're not praying and seeking God about what you're doing. But when the very simplest and weakest of believers calls out to the God of heaven for strength in the work that you're doing, that is what the devil hates. And he fears it. Because when the believer has the ear of God and the Lord is intervening in the life of that child of God, then there's going to be accomplishments made. Then there's going to be advancements done. Then the kingdom of Satan cannot stand against the child of God in prayer. E.M. Bounds wrote these words about the weaponry of prayer. He said, "Prayer cannot be retired as a secondary force in this world. To do so is to retire God from the movement. It is to make God secondary. The prayer ministry is an all-engaging force. It must be so to be a force at all. The estimate and the place of prayer is the estimate and the place of God. To give prayer the secondary place is to make God secondary in life's matters." William Cooper, in his hymn, said, "What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Beware, friend, that we don't relegate our own private prayer, or for that matter, the public prayer meeting. We don't relegate that to, if I have time, if my day allows it, maybe I'll fit it in somewhere. No, we need to be sure we make time for prayer, because we will not find the time for prayer. It will avoid and escape. So we have the weaponry of prayer. We also have the weaponry of the Word of God itself, because the Scripture, we are told, is our sword. And with it, we will overcome the attacks of the evil one by the teaching and the doctrine and the practice of Scripture. And as we have that in our heart, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And our Savior used the Word of God in His own defense against the devil when He came to Him to tempt Him. He used the verses from Deuteronomy to defeat the devil on every single temptation. And He demonstrated the power of the Word in the face of the fiercest opposition. And so when Satan comes to you, what do you have to defend yourself? You have prayer. You have the Word of God. And believer, let us not think this a light thing. But you know, the Bible, it must be known by us as Christians if it's going to be any use in our Christian life. It's not enough to say, "Well, I have a Bible." It's not enough to have it beside your bed. It's not enough to have it on the night table or in the shelf at home. No, the Bible, it's not a superstitious good luck charm for us if we just have it with us. It has to be known. It must be studied, memorized, imbibed in the life, because it is our food, our spiritual food. And if we do not partake of the spiritual food that God has given to us, then it is no wonder if we become very weak. We become anemic. We have no power in us. Let us make use of what God has given to us, because it will make us strong. One of the real problems that we all deal with is fatigue, tiredness, perhaps also laziness, a little bit in there as well. Being diverted being sidetracked to other things. The point is that unless we invest our effort and our time into the Word of God, the God-breathed, inspired Scriptures, then, friends, we need not wonder why we have no real power. It's a very telling question, you know, that Jesus asked. He said, when the Son of Man comes back again to the earth, will He find faith on the earth? What did He mean by that? Well, I believe there's some aspect that Christians sometimes are weaker than they very need to be, weaker than we should be. We need to be strong in the Lord because we are in a great warfare and a great battle. Let us all therefore pray that the Lord will renew our interest in His Word, that He will give us a hungering and a real spiritual thirsting. Without this, we'll just wither up and we'll be powerless in serving the Lord. You know what else the Lord has given to us? He has given to us the weaponry of the unity among Christians, unity of believers. And it's both spiritual and practical. Because this is a weapon that I believe is much stronger than you and I might perceive. It's a place where God has commanded the blessing upon His people. Psalm 133 tells us just that. He commands the blessing upon the unity of His people. And if there is fraction or disruption or disunity among the body of Christ, that is not a healthy thing. It's absolutely a destructive thing. But on the other side, when there is sweet unity and close fellowship among God's people, even if it cannot be always physically, but if there is that close spiritual fellowship, the warmth of the Holy Spirit is that which will be infectious. And let it be in a sense of a convection oven. Because a convection oven uses the heat and it uses the air that is blown around in order to speed up the cooking process. Well, let us pray that we will be convection oven Christians, that we have the heat of the Holy Spirit and the wind of the Spirit of God in order to enable us to encourage and help and build up others. A root of bitterness, let it not once remain. We need to take steps to make sure the Spirit of God is not grieved, but that we will do that which is right. You know, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So, you know, a fellowship that is fractured by problems of disunity, what can we do about that? Well, brothers and sisters, we need to do what we can do within ourselves to put right what has been done wrong and to pray much that God will give us a humble spirit and will give us a conciliatory spirit, and to pray those things into our heart, because He has blessed us with the weaponry of prayer and of the Word and of the unity among God's people. And another one is the very use of the means of grace. We've talked about that recently. We spoke about it recently when we were thinking about the communion table and about how God has said that meeting around the communion table is a way of being built up. It's a way of receiving the blessings that God has promised to our obedience. And so when we think about the table of God, about obeying Him in baptism, about coming under the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, these are vehicles, instruments that God has given to us whereby we can be built up and encouraged. And it's a very strong thing for the child of God. It's a weaponry that we will use to build up others. So supposing this, you may not know what someone's going through at that particular moment in your life, but let's say the Spirit of the Lord speaks to your heart and says, and brings to your mind that Christian at that time. and you think, my, maybe I should just text a little verse of Scripture to someone. Let them know I'm thinking about them. And when you do that, you have no idea what that means to that person at that time, because God works in that way. He moves you to encourage someone else. It might be a phone call. It might be knocking on their door. A believer, let's be all of us very sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God in making use of the Word of the Lord as a means of encouragement and of blessing others. All right, we've been thinking about the conflict that we have, which is primarily a spiritual conflict, and how we are to think and deal with that. But I want to look, secondly, and think more specifically on those types of conflict that come against the Christian. And the first one here is the conflict that we have against the world. So we're thinking about believers themselves and the battle that you and I have against the world and the flesh and the devil. It's most certainly a very real conflict, because the world represents everything that is opposed to God. By the way, I'm not talking about creation. I'm not speaking about the created world of God, of nature, because nature is beautiful, even though it has been affected by sin, where weeds come up in the garden and thorns grow and stuff like that, because nature is very beautiful. But when we think about the word world and speaking about the world from a biblical definition, it has to do with man apart from God. It has to do with the corrupt nature of man being revealed, and the outgrowth of that in everyday society. That's what we mean by the world and the flesh and the devil. So in those things, when we think about the conflict that you and I have, it's against that very spirit, that contemporary spirit of this age, and of the age that every believer lives in, and how active the devil is, and how he brings his attacks against you and I. Well, the Lord has told us we are not to love the world. You say, well, how can a believer love the world? Well, I don't have to ask that question too deeply, because you know exactly how that can happen, because we're all guilty of it to some degree or another. We're told not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, neither the things that represent anti-God spirits or things that are against His Word and His commands. We're not to love those things. We're not to be attracted to them. And it's a battle, it's a conflict that you and I have continually. The conflict against the world. It's a thinking that comes into us continually. It's the mode of operation for every single unsaved person. And we are in the midst of all that. And we're influenced by it. And we need to pray that God would make us strong in our defense against that thinking, against those influences, against that psychology. Because the world is no friend to the Lord. And Satan will attempt at every turn to try to make the world look as if it is good and right and wholesome for the Christian. Oh, it's not so bad. That thing won't hurt you too much. You can indulge a little bit in this. As I said some weeks ago, J.R. Miller, a Presbyterian minister from the States 150 years ago, he said this statement, and it haunts me. It's a haunting statement. He said that tolerable sins, allowable sins, will always make men weak. When we allow sin in our life, when we indulge ourselves a little bit in it, thinking, oh, we're spiritually pretty good at the moment, we can sort of take a little bit of a diversion. When we do that, we grieve the Spirit of God, but we make ourselves weak on the inside spiritually. And it won't be until we come to the point of repentance crying out to the Lord, getting things put right, well, we need to realize that we have a great conflict against the world itself. But you know, sadly, we've touched on it a little bit, but sadly also, the conflict can be in the church. This is all too familiar. Whenever you glance at church history, because my, how many divisions and splits and rent asunder, as the hymn says, schisms rent asunder, the church is. And there have been so many, many things. And sometimes when you look back on it, you think, really? They split and separated over that issue? It seemed to be something not that big. Well, oftentimes the devil, he gets in. The Lord Jesus said before he would return to this world again, beware, he said, take heed, because men will say, here is Christ, or there is Christ. He said, do not be deceived. But he said, follow the genuine. He said, well, how do we know what the genuine is? You have my word. You have the word of God. You will know by the discerning grace of the Spirit of the Lord that the conflict that comes and will attack the church, you will have discernment from the Spirit of the Lord to know truth and error, to know right and wrong. And so, let us beware and understand that these things are very real. Paul said and warned about false teachers, and John, 1 John, the apostle of love, warned that in the latter days there would be false prophets would come. Just as there were in the Old Testament, so there were in the New. So there will be right to the end of time. False prophets in the church speaking as if they were messengers of God. But they're not. How do you discern this? You will do so by bringing and judging and evaluating by the Word as the Berean Christians did. And as every Christian in every generation must do if they're going to be walking faithfully with the Lord, they must see that these conflicts are real. It's a spiritual one, and we must draw the weaponry that is spiritual that God has given to us, of prayer, of His Word, of the unity within the body of Christ. We must see all of these things. Conflict is in the world. Conflict is in the church. But you know where the center of all conflict is? It's in ourselves. It's in ourselves. This is the root of all our troubles. The fiercest, most prolonged and relentless struggle is going to be found in our own hearts. I can wage war with false doctrine. I can wage war with false teachers and false everything for that matter. Do you know, ultimately, the battle within self is one that must be conquered. And that takes courage. It takes the power of God working in us. If only self could be conquered, you might say, well, it would be a great step toward victory. And that's exactly what Paul said and taught. For he said this, I die daily. And I die daily unto myself so that I might live unto God. And that, believer, is exactly where we must be. It means it is our warfare. And it's our daily warfare. Because Christ said, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. And so let that be our constant prayer, friend, because there's no escaping it as well, long as life is here. No, you cannot fight what is on the outside until you have fought what is on the inside. We all must go through tribulation in order to enter into the kingdom of God. My soul, be on thy guard. We sang that this morning. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle, ne'er give in. Renew it boldly every day. And help divine implore. Never think the victory won. nor lay thine armor down. The work of faith will not be done till thou obtain the crown. Let us be walking with the Lord. Let us be honoring Him in all that we do, in all that we say, in how we think. Because realizing that these types of conflict are great. And all, friend, read again what Paul said in verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, note this, to the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds is he talking about? This is really what defines the powerful conflict that we have. That's the third point for us this morning. It's a powerful conflict that you and I are against. We're not playing games here. Paul said these are strongholds. It's a fortification. It's a barricade that the devil has set up. And he has built these against the Christian. And these fortresses of Satan, they are castles that he has built up to protect his empire. But we are told this great truth that the church of Jesus Christ will overcome. And the gates of hell, the strongholds of Satan, the fortresses of the enemy, they will not be able to withstand the forward march of the church of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they are great. Satan's the god of this world, we know that. And he has trained his soldiers well. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Friends, let us be very much aware. Oh, they're all around us. Of false religion, of science, so-called, of the world of lust and pride and addiction and every kind of vice. All of these things are around us. They are strong. And you cannot face this battle on your own. We must have the Lord's Spirit within to empower us. Finally, and just briefly in conclusion, there is a victorious nature to this conflict. For I love these words. Please mark them in your Bible and remember them. Our weapons, spiritual, they are mighty through God. They are mighty through God to the pulling down. That's the victory, believer. Whatever Satan puts against you, it will be just like a card house in the midst of a great windstorm. It'll just blow over. It'll be like one of the facades that they make in Hollywood pictures. And the windstorm will come and they will be nothing. For grace is given to us. Grace that is greater than all my sin. And I love the verse that teaches us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So how are we to stand in such conflict in our day? It is only by the power of Christ who lives within us. It is only by the Spirit of the Lord that will strengthen us day by day. That is the hope of our glory. That is the victory that we are promised. And it is the victory in our Lord Jesus. Remember, believer, we are not fighting for the victory. But let us walk by faith in the victory that our Lord Jesus has already obtained for us. We'll bow in prayer. Father, we sense our great weakness at the very best of times. But Lord, I testify, and I know as many believers here know, the times when the Holy Spirit gives us that power that is not of ourselves, the power to resist temptation, the power to take up the weaponry of our prayer, the power to memorize and to indulge ourselves in the Word of God, the power of unity among Christians, the power, Lord, to take of the means of grace that have been so given to us. Help us to take these things by faith and not depend on ourselves, taking a vote of no confidence, Lord, in our flesh. Have mercy upon us all, Lord, as you have done so many times before and undoubtedly will do again. I pray that today the Word of God would come to hearts who are unsaved, even from the little story to the boys and girls. Let that be for every heart. We will flee to Jesus, repenting of sin and calling on Him to change our hearts. So bless us now today. Lord, we want to come this morning and to acknowledge again and with thanksgiving the preciousness of fellowship one with another. And Lord, in the next few weeks, as our services will go back online, we pray that you would watch over every one, that you would create a hunger and a thirst in our hearts for the things that are right and true, and that, Lord, you would bring these things to a conclusion and give us wisdom as elders, as leaders in the congregation, to know what to do and when to do it. That, Lord, we will do what is right always according to thy holy word. So part us now in thy fear with your rich blessing on us. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.